Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I am your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Rob.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob.
And we got James.
Hello.
So, tonight we're going to be talking about a game that has been growing in popularity. I know you guys have been playing it a lot. Tamara's been streaming it. I've been seeing it pop up more and more often and frequently on Twitch, being played. Now, sadly, it is a game I know nothing about. So you guys are going to have to kind of fill me in, and I'm going to probably have some questions. But the game is called Lethal Company. Right off the bat, what is the premise of this game?
Our lives for the company.
Anything for the company.
Okay, that's a good question. What is the company?
Company is a giant tentacled monster behind a giant wall, as far as we know.
Oh.
And we have to collect scrap to feed him, or he eats us.
So he just eats junk?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's supposedly he just collects it, but like the game is still in beta, right, James? Or
I don't know if it's. Let me go look at. Well, I'm not sure if it's early access or not.
Stuff I wanted to add to it because there's the whole underneath section of the company that's like empty, and you're supposed to like collect stuff to put in it at some point, but they haven't done it yet.
It is still early access,
right? So I'm sure there's probably more of an explanation of what the company is, but currently the company planet that you deliver stuff to is just a big wall with a slot to put the stuff in. You ring the bell, giant tentacles come out, grab the stuff, and give you money. So, yeah.
Okay, and what do you use the money for?
So every round basically of 3 days, you have a quota you have to meet of a certain amount of money to make for the company, and then whatever extra money you make beyond that, you can use to buy things like equipment to use, better stuff, like upgrades, things for the ship,
so things that'll help you make more money,
paying for fuel to better planet.
Yep.
Okay, and if you don't make the quota,
you're fired.
Yep.
And by fired, are you eaten?
You get ejected from the ship.
Ejected into space.
Oh, so you're eliminated.
Yeah.
Okay, I am not the imposter. So the premise is you land on these planets. You go into a facility of some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just supposed to collect whatever junk you can find and bring it back to the ship.
Yep.
Now, how do you have like a carrying capacity? Can you only carry one piece of junk at a time?
Okay. So the base game, if you added no mods, you can carry 4 items at a time. If you bring in a flashlight and a walkie-talkie with you, those take up 2 of your spaces. So then you only have 2 free spaces to carry stuff, which is why there's a lot of like mods for extra carrying space and whatnot.
And you also have to worry about weight limits because the heavier you are, the slower you run.
Yeah, and then sometimes you have to jump over stuff, so if you are heavy, you can't make the jumps.
As I have found out many times.
Okay.
You plummet to your death.
Now, I have heard you guys playing it before, and now I'm going to preface it this way, and James, you can correct me, but I get the impression that the game really isn't that great without the use of mods.
Like the first few times you play it, it's fantastic, but then it gets less, very repetitive, in my opinion.
Inconvenient too. Like I said, because one of the mods that James added allows you to carry your flashlight and your walkie-talkie in like a separate space, so they don't count towards your ability to carry stuff. So then you can carry at least four items, which is much better. and then like, yeah, I mean, there's only certain things like on each moon that are different if you don't add mods. So after, yeah, I mean, I played it by myself, the base game, and it's okay. But like the mods make it so much better, so much more fun.
Okay, so James, take us through some of the mods that you've added that you feel enhance the game.
Well, let's, before we do the mods. Okay, so that you're not just walking through these places collecting junk, you're also avoiding dangers, because a lot of times you will be killed. So if you are killed, if everybody on your team is killed, you lose everything you've collected over the last couple days. Like, whatever, your ship takes off and you lose everything. So then you're most likely going to get fired because you've lost most of the stuff you've collected. But there are crazy monsters in every place, and some of them are the same throughout the base game and the mods. James just improved some of them and added a couple new ones with the mods, but basically the dangers are, there are snare fleas that hang from the ceiling. They drop on your head and suffocate you. If your teammates are near you, they can pull them off or smack them with shovels and stuff to get them off your head. There's giant spider, which is my least favorite. It grabs you and like wraps you up and hangs you from the ceiling. There is the yippy bug, which is pretty harmless, but every once in a while it gets angry, but you can throw it an item you're carrying and it will run away like a little thief with it and leave you alone if you have to. There is the coil head, which is basically a mannequin, but it's kind of like the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who, where if you look at it, it'll stop moving, but the minute you stop looking at it, it comes at you.
Okay.
If it gets you, it rips your head off and replaces it with a spring.
Yep.
Joy.
There are also non-living dangers, like there's landmines sometimes, there's turret guns.
One of my favorites is the little girl.
Yep. Yeah, you can get haunted, and the little girl starts whispering to you and stuff, tells you things, and then comes after you.
And then as she gets you, your head just explodes.
And these are all just in the base game.
Yep.
Yep. There's the Bracken that breaks your neck and drags your body away so your friends can't retrieve it.
Now, are the graphics of these things, like, are they good?
Well, you can see that I put the coil head chasing somebody. That's the mannequin with the spring head chasing somebody.
And there's a thumper behind him, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. A thumper's like a big thing with giant fists that runs around and like beats you to death if it catches you. And then there's also the spore dogs, which have like things on their tail that release spores that make you all like your vision foggy and you're all confused.
Huh. Okay.
The entities. Ooh, the forest giant, eyeless dog, jester.
Oh yeah, the jester. So it's a jack in the box with arms and legs that walks through the place, and then if it gets near you, it starts to wind up. And then if it finishes winding, it just tears through everything. Like the jester pops out as like a skeleton thing that chases everybody down and murders them.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. So all of these things are inside of like the warehouse.
That's the yippy bug.
Oh Jesus. All of these things are inside of like the warehouses or factories or whatever that you have to go inside of to collect.
Except the giants and the eyeless dogs, those are outside.
Oh, so there is stuff outside.
Yeah, if it gets late, the later it is, the more chance for other stuff outside to come out. So when it starts to get late, you want to leave. Because right. Those things can get in the ship, too, so you're not safe in the ship either.
Now what is late? Like, what's a safe time? Like, what?
I mean, well, no time is completely safe because they can spawn during the day too. It's rarer, but usually around at least before 5 or 6, you want to start getting out of there.
Okay, and I assume you have a clock on your screen somewhere that tells you the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it starts at 8 a.m., James, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, one of the things that we forgot are the masked coworkers. So,
oh yeah,
they look like other players. They walk around and if they catch you, they rip off your face and put a mask on, and then you become one of them. So then there's multiple one running around. James did that to me one of the first times we played because there's masks that you can find, and if you put them on, you become a masked coworker. He was like, "Rob, watch this." And he put a mask on and his eyes started glowing red, and then he ripped his own face off and started chasing me. I was like, "What is happening?"
Okay. So, Rob, you've been trying to sell me on this game.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like several of my worst nightmares.
I mean, they're
packaged
not,
into
not
a,
like...
a $10 game.
I mean, I know it's just, but I think you would. I don't think you would be as bothered by it because it's not like I don't know. Because you don't mind like zombies and stuff chasing you. Like once you learn what the monsters are, it's not as like scary. It's more like, oh god, I gotta get away from it.
Yeah, but then you said there's a giant spider. You know how I know about spiders.
There's arachnophobia mode
where it'll just say the word spider instead of being a spider.
So like, it'll be a word. The word spider. Chased around by the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's like that. What was that other game, Grounded or whatever we played with the arachnophobia mode,
mm-hmm.
where it turned them into like Lego creatures or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're hired to collect junk for Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm.
You land on a moon at 8 a.m. And you and your team run into this warehouse or factory.
Sometimes mansion.
Or mansion.
Yep.
And you just pick up anything that you can on the ground, bring it back to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And by 5 o'clock, you try to GTFO.
Yep.
And
oh, also giant worms. There's giant worms under the ground, like in Tremors, that can get you outside.
Great. Great.
I spend a lot of time dying in this game, I will say.
So I assume different pieces of junk have different values.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, are there pieces of junk you say, okay, normally in like the vanilla game, you have 4 inventory slots, and if
yes,
you take a flashlight and a walkie-talkie, that takes up 2.
Yeah.
Are there pieces of junk that take up multiple inventory slots because of their size?
Not multiple inventory slots, but there are 2-handed items that you can only carry one of, but they still only take up 1 inventory space. So, like, you could put it down and pick up something smaller and then pick it back up again.
Okay.
But you can't carry multiple 2-handed items because
okay.
you have to, yeah, that stays in front of you. It kind of blocks your view too a little bit. So, right. It's harder to see.
And I take it those items severely impact your weight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what is the. Okay, before we get into the mods, what is the strategy on any given map? Like when you start a game, is there even a strategy? Like is there something that most people try to do or things that people try to
I mean,
go
most
for,
of the things that are close to the door you want to like grab quickly and throw outside the door so that you can get like so if there's something inside, you don't have to go back inside to get it.
Right.
Basically, because sometimes things will chase you to the door, and then you're like, "Oh, I can't go back in there."
But are there multiple entrances to the building?
Yes, there's the main entrance, and there's fire exit. So if you've got a group of people, the best thing to do is split up. Somebody go to this fire exit. Somebody go to this one. Somebody go to main.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can get more things from around. Another thing is, well, one of the mods that we took out was James put in fake fire doors that were mimics. So if you opened them, they would eat you.
Well.
Okay. Yeah. But we took that out because we needed to know which ways to get out of the place.
Sounds like James was listening in on my last D&D session on Wednesday. Because we ran into a mimic door that ate a party member.
Well, he took those out a couple weeks ago. They were before that. But that's pretty funny. Very similar. Maybe your DM plays.
Yeah. So there isn't, other than just splitting up the party, which in D&D is a big no-no, but in this game it's divide and conquer, I'm guessing. There's not really kind of much I mean, you strategy.
You can stick together if you want, but yeah, I mean, then a lot of times you end up dying together because it's like, oh god.
Right. Now, I will say one of the clips that I do remember seeing, there are turrets. What are these? Like, what are the turrets? Like, are those on every map? Or, like, I watched James and Tamara both run into a room and there was a turret and they both died.
They can spawn on any map. If somebody's in the ship, they can turn the turret off using the computer console.
Okay. Yeah,
and then if you upgrade to malware, you can blow them up.
But that's a mod.
Oh, that's a mod? That's not even base game either?
That's not base game. That's a mod.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And
yeah, because when you turn them off, you only turn them off temporarily. They come back.
Right. Now, are there items of junk that are worth more?
Yeah.
Gold bars tend to be pretty pricey. Golden cups.
The gold lamp.
Cash registers.
Cash register, yeah.
So, like, as you're running through, would you purposely not pick something up?
Because you want to pick everything up, but if you see more expensive stuff, you could throw stuff down.
Okay.
Basically. Okay. Keys. I tend to pass by a lot of keys.
Yeah, keys. We always get a ton of keys, and unless you see find locked doors, they're not really worth anything. So.
Yeah, they're worth $3 and. You always end up with like 50 of them on the ship inside of the cabinet.
Okay.
And cushions I tend to avoid just because if you throw them on the floor and walk over it, it alerts the dogs if there's any outside.
Huh.
So that's a good way to wipe your entire team if you're all just out there chilling and somebody hits it.
Right. Now, the keys open up locked doors, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And behind the locked doors, if there is one, is that like where good loot is?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's just an empty room. That's because it's like all BS. It's all randomly generated. So
that seems like big BS. I would be pissed if I was like, "Oh, I got a key. Oh, I finally found this fucking locked door." And I open it up, and there's nothing in there. And I turn around, there's that yippee motherfucker just staring at me, being like, "What up? Give me something, and I'll run away."
Yeah. They say that to you. They go, yippee!
That's a mod, though.
Oh, that's a mod, too? What the hell?
Jesus, is that a Pokemon mod? Or just yell their own name and run away?
Well, James, originally, he also had a mod at one time that he took away where the yippee bugs just yelled at you, yelled swears at you in British accent.
I think I would rather have that. it would make me feel more at home.
Well, see, some of the things it said was not good for stream.
That's fair. Okay, so let's get into some of the mods. What are some of the mods that you put in to enhance gameplay, to make it more fun for you guys? And after you've listed off, you know, however many you feel like going through, what are some of your favorite mods?
Let's see. Well, I mean, they're all pretty much my favorites. But some of the enhanced gameplay ones, I added one for Health Station, where when you charge your flashlight, it'll also shock you and regen your health. I added in the late game upgrades, which is what the LGUs are, Rob, where you can do the malware. That's where malware comes from.
Gotcha.
I added in a mod that gave us a crosshair because before adding that, you can't see where you're aiming on the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, to like pick stuff up and whatnot.
Yep. a bunch of things to add in, new scraps, new moons, things to overhaul the masked enemy, where instead of being able to look at it to tell it's a bad guy, it will be look exactly like your teammate with their name, your username over their head and everything, and they'll even sit there and emote, and then by the time you realize it's not your teammate, it's too late.
Yeah, they look exactly like everybody. Like, no matter what cosmetics you put on, it looks exactly like them.
Now, is this the same thing that I always hear you guys talking about, how you hear each other talking, but it's not really you?
That's a different one. That's one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorite mods. It's called Skinwalkers.
It records your voice from earlier in the game, things you've said, and it plays them back as if you're talking, and to fool you into thinking someone's close to, like, it's one of your teammates close to you. But it's really the monster talk.
That's why you'll hear a lot of us being like, are you real? Is it you?
Okay. So what other kind of mods you got?
A bunch of ones that add in new moons to travel to.
Yeah. There are some, like, quality of life ones that I didn't even realize until I played the base game. Because, like, if you order stuff, they have the mod where it comes straight away as soon as you land, whereas in the base game, you have to wait an hour for it to come. I was like, what the hell is this?
I added in stuff to, it's called reserved item slot core, where you can have, like, reserved walkie slot, reserved flashlight slot, weapon slot, spray paint.
Oh, there's weapons?
Yeah, you can get shotguns, shovels.
So you can fight back against the
launchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing is, if you die, all that stuff is lost.
Right.
And it costs a lot. But one of the things I forgot to mention about the base game is, like, you can get upgrades for the ship. I mean, that are good for the full game, too, but there's the teleporter, where you can teleport people back to the ship if they are in danger, but they lose everything they're carrying. You can teleport dead bodies so that you don't lose as much money, because if you recover the bodies, the penalty for dying is less.
That's one thing I added with the teleporter. Mm-hmm. Was better teleporter, where you at least get to keep your flashlight and walkie-talkie.
Yeah, and keys, I've noticed. It doesn't make you drop keys either. But all your loot, you have to drop all your loot. And if you have any, like, there's utility belts that increase your carrying capacity, you lose those too through teleport.
Okay.
But, like I said, you can also teleport dead bodies back to the ship, so you don't lose. It counts as body recovery. And then there's, like, a horn to distract the giants that you can get. It also, like, if people are lost, you can hit it, and it helps them find their way to the ship if they're lost, because you can hear it.
Now, is there, other than the dogs and the giants, are there hazards and the worms? Are there hazards outside that would impede you from getting back to your ship? Like, is there sandstorms? Is there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to pay attention to what moon you go to, because some of them could be eclipsed, which means more things are spawning outside. It could be stormy, which you have a chance of getting struck by lightning, even more so if you're carrying a metal object.
Okay.
It could be foggy, where you can't see anything.
It could be just raining, where there's, like, big sinkhole mud things that you can get stuck in.
Okay.
And then if you run into water, you can't get out. You just die. Drowned. Because there's a couple maps that have, like a crater lake, and I ran the first couple times I played it, I just ran straight, because usually it's like, oh, the dungeon is straight from the ship, but there's just a big lake, and I would fall in and drown. I was like, yay.
So let me see if I get this straight so far. I'm hired by Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm.
I have to fly to these desolate moons filled with scary ass monsters, always trying to kill me. To go pick up trash to bring back to get paid to be able to continue doing it more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the games you will die. You spend a lot of time dying. And when you're not dying, you're going to spend the rest of the time screaming because of scary monsters.
Yes.
You're not really selling me on this, Rob.
Also, the company, the guy that collects the stuff to give you money can kill you, too, if he's angry. Like, what? He really hates Katy Perry, so every time we Katy Perry emote near him, he just lashes out and kills everyone that's around.
What? Is that a mod?
Basically, if you make too much noise, he gets very angry.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not a mod that he does it. The Katy Perry thing isn't mod. But, like, if you just go with, like, air horns or stuff that you can find, or, like, the clown horns that, like, you honk, he gets really angry at those, too. But
or if you ring his bell too many times.
Okay.
One of the things that James added that is becoming my favorite is the Modcraft, or Minecraft Herobrine one, where, like...
Yes, I was about to say, that is my all-time favorite one now, is Herobrine.
Yeah, he haunts you, weird stuff happens.
Any of the maps he can haunt you, but if it's a Minecraft map, because there are Minecraft moons in there, there's a bigger chance of him haunting you. And if you pick up a redstone torch, that multiplies the chance of you being haunted.
Yeah, and he puts stuff that only you can see in the chat. He says stuff directly to you. If you have the broadcast thing... to broadcast messages, he'll broadcast weird messages to you over that, and then, like, he appears to you as your Minecraft character, and then if he catches you and kills you, you turn into your corpse turns into your Minecraft character.
But my Minecraft character is a cute blushing panda.
Yeah. He'll be following you around, chasing you, floating in the air.
That's messed up.
But he does weird things, too. Like, when he got me, like, James, I saw just a couple times, fell over as his Minecraft character. When he got me, he teleported me into the dungeon on top of a mine, on top of a landmine, and blew me up. And then when he got to Mara, and also before that, he was, like, flying around me, spitting Minecraft fire everywhere that no one else could see, but it burned me when I touched it.
Yeah, there's also a chance that he'll teleport you into a nether fortress.
Now, are these maps like blocks like in Minecraft?
If you go to the Minecraft moon, yeah. But he can he can appear anywhere on even the regular moons.
Jesus.
Now.
Like one of the maps, it's called Taiga, which looks straight up like a Minecraft Taiga when you visit it.
Jesus. Okay. Next question. Mm-hmm. How do you beat the game?
I don't think you do.
There's not really any beating it.
Okay.
It's there are kind of like, one of those grindy games.
Yeah, there are data crystal things that you can collect that tell you the story. But even if you collect all those, technically you're not like... But it's still in early access, so I don't know if maybe someday there will be an ending to it, but it's not yet. There isn't one yet. You just keep collecting more and more, and then the amount you have to collect goes up every time.
So, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to sell me on a spooky, scary, jump scare horror game.
I mean, it's
where you spend most of the time dying.
More funny and silly than scary once you get used to it.
Most of the time dying, and it is unbeatable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, do you ever beat Minecraft? Or...
Yeah, you beat the dragon.
Yeah, but you keep playing after that. Like, that's not the end.
You beat the dragon, and then you go kill the warden.
Beat him, you get your elytras and can fly around, discover more places, then start a new base at an awesome island or something since you can fly to it.
Oh, wow, those really do look like Minecraft maps, huh?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I don't know if I have any other questions now.
Half the fun is dancing around and crazy with crazy emotes too.
Why?
Yeah, just because they're crazy and it's fun.
Or killing your friends.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he added the Death Note. So if you get the Death Note, you could just like write someone's name in it. It kills them.
Wait, what?
I discovered you can use it against the monsters, which he didn't know.
Yeah, there's a death note in the game now that from one of the mods. You just open it up and you can click one of your friends' names, or you can, if you're inside, you can click one of the monsters and it'll just sit there and automatically kill them.
Oh my. Okay. But like, why would you want to kill your friends? Because they're helping you get money.
Just because it's funny.
Or if they annoyed you during the game.
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
Which we tend to get annoyed a lot.
Remind me never to play this game with B then.
Oh boy.
Because B will just kill us just for fun.
Yes, yes, she will.
Well, the death note is rare, but she could just bash your head in with a shovel if she had one. But
yes, one of the first times we played, Rob did that to Heather.
Yeah, because I was trying to kill Tamara, because Tamara killed me, so I was trying to get her back, but Tamara ran out of the way, and I smacked Heather instead with the shovel and killed her.
Well, okay.
That's why I added a mod called Push Company, where you can push your friends, so if they're about to jump over a big gap, you can just push them and make them fall in and die.
Oh my gosh. So this game...
While Tamara was AFK and dancing moding, I tried to push her in front of the tentacle guy. But she came back and she's like, I see what you're doing.
So this game, it sounds to me like this game, when you're not trying and having to deal with monsters and whatever, is just pure chaos.
I mean, not really. I mean, we don't kill each other all the time. It's a rare thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know me. If people were constantly killing me, I'd be salty.
Most of the time, it's him killing himself if he's trying to jump a gap.
Yeah, I'm terrible at jumping.
Parkour, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
I found I'm good at sneaking past the eyeless dogs. It's the only thing I'm good at.
Now, is there a talent tree?
Not in vanilla.
But with the mods, there is sort of. Like, you can increase stamina, you can increase your battery power for your flashlight and walkie-talkie, and then you can...
Now, do you do that just with money that you've earned?
Do healing.
No, you gain skill points for all the scrap you find.
Oh, okay.
Like with the redstone torch, we found out if you find one that's worth a lot of money, you get a lot of points for it.
Yeah, so picking up the redstone torch guarantees you're going to get haunted by Herobrine, though.
Right, and who can kill you?
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where it's like, do you want to take, like, the $5,000 that's going to be, like, 10 times more than value than most things in this map and possibly die, or do you want to leave it?
Now, is that one of those... Wouldn't it be wise to just, like, remember where that is and then try to take that last?
The problem is you usually, like, depending on how many dangers, you might not be able to get back to it, basically.
Oh. Gotcha. And I take it you're not safe from the ghost if you just take it and run to the ship?
Correct. No. Even if you put it down again in the ship and you're like, I collected it, put it in the ship, he'll still haunt and kill you eventually. The only thing you can do is tell your team members to hurry up and get the fuck out of there before he kills you.
Now, what happens if, like, if I did play this game, what would happen if I, like, oh, I found the redstone torch. I pick it up, I run back to the ship, and I just fucking leave.
I mean, you could.
You could leave us all behind and kill us, sure. That'd be great.
But I mean, I would get the money and the skill points for the redstone torch, yeah?
Well, I mean, yeah but if you even, like, it's basically, depending on, like, if you're playing, the three of us were playing and you left without us, then you're killing two of us, taking the negative for having two people dead instead of just one. So, but yeah, you could.
Yeah, because if anybody dies, you lose money from your bank that you've earned.
Gotcha. Okay.
Ooh, I know one of the mods that he would probably like, the Peter Griffin house.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
And when you land in, it plays the little Family Guy music.
Yep.
Are the monsters the other characters of Family Guy?
No.
No, it's still the same monster.
I was going to say, you could have the Yip, the Yip monster there, the whatever the Yippy monster, could be Stewie.
It's just that the like main outside of the world where you land looks like this. I'm sitting it in the chat now.
Oh, it looks like their living room.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but the inside, like the dungeon and stuff, is still the same. Like mostly, like even the Minecraft, like once you get inside, it's the same type of dungeons. He did add a mod that changes some of them, but not these. Like these just still have the regular, like the main three types of dungeons. But there are like ones that he added, like one's a sewer, but the sewers are always to be locked. You need lots of keys in the sewer for some reason.
Yep.
And then there's like an ancient like tomb one.
I've added more, but they never spawn in. Like I added in a abandoned mental hospital one, but it never spawns in. Well, I'm thinking
those you might have to go to regular moons for those to work, whereas we keep going to the special moons because they're more fun on the outside.
Right. All right. Well, with me out of questions. Is there anything else that you guys want to add about Lethal Company? I know, James, you said that this was originally created by a Roblox player?
Yeah, he was a Roblox developer. His name is still, like, when you load into the game, shows up Zeekers RBLX.
Gotcha. All right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's a modder's paradise, basically. Like, there's tons of mods for it.
Yep, the one really we're fun. Currently playing on, I have 93 mods installed, which some of them are like library mods where you have to have that installed for something to load in. But like if I look at the Git Mods page on the Thunderstore mod browser, there are currently 23,642 Lethal Company mods.
Oh my lord. Sounds like every time John ran a Minecraft server. I'd have to spend half the time loading in because it was loading in all the mods that he had.
Yeah.
But a lot of them will be like quality of life things like new suits that you can wear or cosmetic items like hats.
Now, if you're wearing a cosmetic item, because I saw a picture one of you posted where you had like a weird jester hat.
Yeah, that was me.
If you're wearing a cosmetic item and then like the monster comes in that takes that makes it look like you. Are they also wearing the cosmetic
yes.
item?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we had like trailing rainbows at one point, and the monsters had those too.
Tamara had on like it. What was that dragon head from?
Joe Cat, I think his name is the guy that does the terrible. The D&D classes with the weird dragon head. I think I've showed you a couple of those, Webby. He has like the sock puppet dragon head, and
Yeah.
But Tamara is wearing that on her head with fire coming out of it, and I walked up to a door. And I was like, Tamara, you're behind me, but you just came out of that door. That is not you.
The game sounds interesting. But I do not see myself enjoying playing it for long.
But just think of the funny clips we could get, like that time we was playing Demonologist with Tamara, and you just started screaming.
I will say, as much as I love her, I do not see myself liking to play this game with B. Because B is a chaos gremlin when it comes to games, and she will just start smacking people and killing people for fun.
I can already say B would definitely do that with this because she hates the game.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, she only played it once, and she played with...
And she also played vanilla, right?
Well, it wasn't quite vanilla, but it was close. Fox and Parachy did, but they only did like a couple mods. They did like maybe three, and they were mostly just item mods. There wasn't like any adjustment really to the game. Well, one of the mods lets you play with more people because it has a 4-player limit, but there's a mod you can add to have more than 4 players as well.
Yeah, I think I have it set up where we can have up to 32 people in a lobby.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Imagine having the Death Note on that one. I'd just be sitting there. Is there a cooldown on the Death Note?
You can only use it once.
One time.
Ah, that's it?
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to play with B. I'd be her first choice every time.
One thing I learned is because I found it twice, and the first time I saved it in case we needed the money to make our quota, which we did. I ended up having to sell it. But then the second time we had enough, so I used it. But then it like the book burns away, so it's just a brown book, but you can still sell it after that. I was like, oh, I could have used the other one and then sold it.
So what is the most... Okay. Two-part question. It's going to be a dumb question, but I need to fill time. What is the least expensive piece of junk that you guys have found in the game? And what is the most expensive piece of junk that you guys have found in the game? And what were they?
Vanilla or modded?
Both. Yeah, modded, I guess, because you guys really only play modded now.
Usually, like, I think, like, $15-ish is the lowest value I've seen.
I mean, other than maybe keys, 13, keys are only like $3, but yeah, like the I think the chattering teeth or the whoopee cushions are really low, like 13.
And then most would be the redstone torch I found yesterday worth $421,000.
Yep.
Oh, geez, $421,000?
Yeah, but our lobby was starting to glitch.
Yeah, and some of our stuff is inflated, too, because there's a mod, like this use of the skill tree. One of the things is value, so you can increase the value of items you find by putting points into that.
Uh-huh, so every time you bring one of the high-value redstone torches, you increase your value even more, which means the next time you find scrap, it's going to be worth even more. And it just keeps going up, and then you get to a point where you never have to worry about meeting your quota because you're always going to do it like within the first 2 minutes of a moon.
Now, I'm assuming the quota changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, each time you meet quota, it goes up higher. So you start out, it's like $130?
$139, I think. Yeah.
And then it goes up to 200 and something.
So if we played, say us three played, in the very first map we went into, I found a redstone torch, say, worth $350,000, then it wouldn't matter if I just ran back to the ship and took off and left you guys to die, because the negative penalty from your guys' death would be covered by the cost of the torch.
Yeah, but it's still a jerk move. Whatever.
Yeah.
I was just saying. All I'm saying is Lethal Company can put a price tag on friendship.
But you also got to think, you've got to play more maps with these friends, and they will get their revenge on you.
Oh, no, because see, the second I do that, if I ever made that decision, that's where I retire from the scrapping industry and never play the game again. What is this? Oh, these are...
Those are the quotas and how much it goes up for each one you hit.
Okay. Oh, it even tells you how much average per day you need to be able to make it. Oh, so you get, 3 days every time?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But then, like I said, if everyone bites it, then like you lose everything. So if you were on day two and everybody died, you'd only have 1 day to make whatever quota.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, because if everybody dies, you lose everything on the ship.
Now, what's the farthest quota you guys have made it to?
I think one of the maps me and Tamara was on, or one of the saves, we're up to like, I think 40,000.
Oh, okay. So well beyond mods this
on that, yeah, one of the mods on that I have, though, is called Profit Rollover, where if you because normally, like, if you sell all your stuff, only 130 of it goes towards the quota, and the rest you bank so you can buy items. But that mod allows it to where it'll just, everything you sell will go towards the next quota, and the next quota, and the next quota. So, like, if you're on quota one and you sell like $2,000 worth of stuff, you've already pretty much covered the next seven quotas.
Right. Okay.
But it's felt too cheaty to me, so I quickly got bored of that mod pack.
Yeah.
I don't think... I don't understand why, because it says for the last one, like, I'm just looking at this last one under 20, it says 17,000 is the quota, but it says average per day to meet is only 1,745. Times three, that's only like 5,000. Not 17,000.
I think that's starting like from day one. You would need to have that, because it's, I think it's calculating because you can leave things on the ship and not sell them.
Okay.
So that's saying, like, if you started on day one and wanted to have enough to cover that, you'd need to make that much each day and only sell quota each time you go to the company. So it's times
20, basically, right? Okay, I see.
Hmm. All right. Lethal Company. Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys want to add to this?
It's definitely better with more people. It is possible to play by yourself, but I don't recommend it. I mean, I tried it, but then every time you die, you lose everything on the ship every time. So it's very difficult. So yeah, the more the merrier, basically.
And that's, I think, what was it, that award that it won? It's Lethal Company. Yes, it won the Better with Friends award on Steam. Which is very true. It is much better with friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it... Okay, so... Every time you start a new game, you start back at zero everything?
Yeah, but you can save games so you don't have to start at zero if you don't want to.
Right. So, like, the games that you play with, like, Tamara and them is one save file. Then if I wanted to join and play with just you two, we would have to have our own separate save file kind of thing?
Yeah, but pretty much
each time most of the time we mods, do start from the beginning. Yeah,
I will sit there and start a new save that way, because sometimes you'll have things that will conflict with each other. So if this save had this mod running, these other mods may not work with that same save.
Yeah, okay, and if you're changing mods from ones, like, you took away one you had in that save file, it could corrupt stuff and everything. So we usually do end up starting from the beginning. Fun factor, it doesn't really matter too much. It is more convenient for further on, because you have, like, the better running speed and you can carry more stuff, like, heavier stuff later and whatnot. Like, it gets more convenient, but, like, fun factor, it doesn't really affect it starting from the beginning.
And how long is it, in real lifetime... How long is a day in game?
Not very long. Maybe like 15 minutes? 20 minutes, maybe? Not even. I don't think. Maybe 10 minutes?
So it takes less than an hour to do one quota round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I see myself end up getting this game and regretting it.
Well, the good thing is that it's only $10.
It's on sale right now for $7.99. At least it was. But either way, it'll have to wait until last Wednesday of the month. For me, anyway. Okay. Well, I mean, that's all I got. That's all I have as far as questions about this game. If you guys have any last comments, otherwise we can go ahead and end the episode there. We're right around the 50-minute mark, so. Not hearing anything.
I mean, some of the stuff in there you can add is not safe for work, just so you know, because, like, some of the things we've added, like, we added on costumes that have very big boobs that jitter around a lot, like very jiggly boobs.
I was thinking more of the Nokia phone.
Nah, I was going to say the Nokia phone, and then that whatever, the one that Pershi and Fox added, the one that, like, was Vila's like, what the hell is happening? When it was, like, doing, like, talking about on the toilet, it's like, I'm stuck here in the toilet, in the bathroom or whatever, and then there's, like, diarrhea sounds filling the whole dungeon. You didn't see that one? There's clips of it on her channel or whatever. Or somebody made clips of it somewhere.
Jesus.
But yeah. James added a Nokia phone that guy talks about masturbating when you press it. But yeah. And then there's like other things that talk to you. Yeah, Tamara didn't like that one. There's other things that talk to you too. Like there's this weird like cat that's wearing a green coat that says random. The random is
God
stuff.
Dang it, James!
If you talk to it too much, it explodes. Oh, did he buy it for you?
I just had a little pop up saying you got a gift, Steam gift from Glorious Coma. God damn it!
And see, now you have to play it at some point, or else I'm wasting my money.
Just like sales. Have to
get it. It wasn't on sale.
It wasn't?
Nope, it was the full $10.
Oh, shit. All right, I'll install it tomorrow, and maybe we can play it tomorrow. Thank you, James.
No problem. Just think, that could be something to make Bea feel better. Her laying in bed, watching you play it.
Ugh. Me clicking on Rob's name in the Death Notebook. Being like, Bea told me to do it. She's talking in my ear. All right. Rob, do we have a science corner this week? Do you have a lethal company-based science corner? Space? Anything? Cthulhu?
I did not prepare one.
Motherfuck! You have failed this science corner.
I have. I'm trying to think of anything I have heard recently.
This is nerd science, but NASA came out with their own tabletop RPG.
Oh.
Just saying.
And it's not exactly science, but there's a new Netflix series out called The Three Body Problem, which The Three Body Problem, if you did not know, is like this show I think has something to do more like it's a science fiction show, obviously, so it doesn't actually like because it's a mathematical problem basically, but it covers it says that like you know how things. There are calculations that tell you how things are going to interact, especially things with gravitational force, like the sun and the earth and whatnot. So if you add in a third item, like it becomes super unpredictable, like no matter how you try to mathematic it, unless there are certain conditions that you can tell, but they have to be basically uniform. Like there's a figure eight formation that you can tell what they're going to do if they somehow end up in that figure eight formation. But mostly it because of the reactions to gravitational forces as they get close to each other and push each other and pull each other, it's completely unpredictable what they're going to do. So they call it the three body problem because they're in most configurations, there's no way to tell what's going to happen. There's no way to calculate like what they're going to do or where they're going to go, no matter how hard you try. So that's what the movie's premise is based on is like, somehow they end up in like another solar system where there's three suns and they, I don't know. I haven't watched the show, so I don't know what it's about completely, but I just know that I figured I would bring up what the three body problem is because that's what it's called. So there you go. Science.
So can you give me an example of what this three body problem thing is?
I just said if three things are moving around each other that have a gravitational pull, there's no way to predict which ways they would move. So like you can't like, like say there were three suns, like you can't really get approach it because there's no way to predict which way they're going to move and stuff like that.
But that's only in regards to things that have a gravitational force.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or a magnetic force, I suppose, would work as well, because the magnetic pull and push would do the same kind of thing.
Now, but I almost feel like, especially with something like magnets, that eventually they would just move in a pattern to the point where, I am hearing myself bad, to the point where they could just predict how they're going to continue moving, you know?
Only in, like I said, there are certain circumstances with yes, but no, mostly no. It's just complete chaos.
Okay. All right, listeners, go look up the three body problem. And then, yeah, you know.
The actual mathematic problem, not the TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look up both if you want, because that's the reason I brought it up with the TV show. But yeah.
I probably wouldn't Google it in case, you know, like some sort of weird porn comes up.
There's not going to be any porn.
Do you want to put money on that?
I Googled it because I couldn't remember what it was when I saw the day of the show.
We'll find you porn.
Yeah, not at the top. Not at the top of the list.
At the top, I just said there might be some weird porn stuff if you Google it. I didn't say it was going to be the first search result.
Oh boy,
man! All right. Well, thank you for the science corner. Thank you guys for teaching me about Lethal Company, so I know kind of what I'm getting myself into now that James got it for me. Where can people find you on the internet, James?
Until September, you can go find me at gloriouscoma.com.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you have your own website?
Yeah, it was $1 for like a year. Oh, and I keep forgetting about it.
Oh, shit. Rob, where can people find you at?
You can find me on Twitch at ConfessorX and on Twitter at Confessor_X.
Rob, do you want to give out your email address in case people have, like listeners have, like, problems or disgruntled, like, if they have, like, you know, issues?
Illustration of the three body problem.
Just looks like a fucking arrow. Looks like one of those, like, how many triangles do you see in this picture?
It's a GIF. It's moving.
Oh,
you not see it moving?
I'm not clicked on Discord.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing, is I feel like if you wait long enough, it will just repeat its pattern.
It will not. These are the only instances in which you can predict it, in which it will repeat the pattern. But other than that, though, other than those, everything is, all the other configurations are just chaos.
Huh. All right. I guess, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Those are some pretty cool patterns. Okay. As always, everybody, you guys can follow me on X. Is that what it's called now? Twitter? I'm not going to call it X.
What were you saying about if somebody can contact me if they have a problem?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you deal with irate kids all day long emailing people for fucking stupid shit. If any listeners had something stupid that they wanted to complain about, I wanted to give them your email address.
No, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
If you really have a problem, you can DM me on Twitter or X or whatever it is. But
yeah,
no,
same.
I'm not gonna help people with problems outside of work hours. Sorry, unless you're my friend, then maybe.
There are no work hours on SU, and you being the co-host, you're on call 24 hours a day.
Oh, jeez.
So
be prepared for some very grumpy and wrong advice, people.
Okay, as always, everybody, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word, on Twitch at DM Webby, and on eBay at Selling the Three Body Problem. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to monetize magnets. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. That was Lethal Company, and hey, we might put some clips on the SU Facebook page in the upcoming week or so of me screaming in fear as these two drag me to a moon and force me to go into dark places and fight monsters.
Yay!
So I will definitely we'll try if we get clips, we'll make sure we post it somewhere public so you guys can see them. So until next time, everybody, fuck Booster Gold.
Fuck Booster Gold.
Ba-da-ba-da-da-da!